So, you want to hear a story, huh? Have I got a story for you?
I was over here minding my own business when suddenly...
An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood.
Who put that crab there?
Crab? I didn't see any crab.
Don't tell me. There were two crabs. They work in pairs.
You better have a damn good explanation for this.
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Hello, 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 friends and listeners. How are you? We are... We are alive and kicking, and so far as this recording, we're healthy. My name is Banjo, and as always...
I'm Rashford, the undead. He's lying, not all of us survived.
Rashford.
I'm just proof of the zombie apocalypse, that's
okay.
All.
You caught me off guard with that one. Thanks for telling me, by the way. So,
you'll figure out eventually.
Obviously, we are completely off schedule. In fact, I have done absolutely zero work on the episodes we've recorded previously before this whole mess started. Mostly because of adjusting. And, yeah. Working from home, I tell you, I don't like it. I've decided I don't like, not 100% of the time, for sure. Never 100% of the time. I'm thinking like 60-40 would be a good mix. Like,
I don't think anyone really enjoys working
well,
from home,
forced,
especially
then
if it's
no,
forced
obviously,
upon it.
Yeah, because then you're just like, oh,
yeah,
I can't leave my house. But... like, there are people that enjoy working from home because they have the freedom to do what they want, but that's usually...
true. Well, I would imagine those people who work from home or don't have, really... they either, I think, I would presume...
that's generally
true. They work
true.
For themselves. Yeah. But I could be wrong. There could be like a small percentage that actually work from home and actually work for a company.
I mean, I have certainly seen remote jobs that are just 100% remote because that's just workforce is. But yeah, there's definitely a lot to be said about just the structure of having to get up and go into an office every day instead of getting up, rolling, you know, in your PJs, getting a cup of coffee, and then just sitting in front of a computer for the rest of the day. Like, it takes so much energy to focus and to not be, like, running around the house all day, like, trying to get things done, taking care of stuff. It's just...
yeah, I guess it would suck for people who only have, like a one-bedroom apartment or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where basically they have, or, like, it's like a studio apartment where they don't have a distinct separation between office space and things like that.
Yeah, there's, like, zero physical separation. Yeah. At least with my situation, I can create some physical separation, but I just have been choosing not to, like, for the sake of comfort. It's like, because I do have an office, and I was using the monitors on my desk, but, like, the monitors on my desk are set up in such a nice, perfect way for my setup, not for my laptop and all that, so it's like, and then switching back and forth is a pain in the butt, and I'm just like, no, I'm not, no. We're not doing this. Anyway... listeners, if you're familiar with us, this is not going to be a normal episode. In fact, I think Rasputin had a good one. He's calling we're calling this the Social Isolation Series. So, yeah, I figure we're just going to keep it nice and loose.
Yeah, keep it nice and loose. Maybe talk about some stuff that, even though we're socially isolating, games still go on. People still do online games, which is now becoming more of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, in fact, there's like a whole bunch of articles and stuff that's like, did you know you could play D&D online? And like, gamers everywhere were just like, yeah.
Yeah. I think that people are not in the hobby are just learning, what?
You can do this online?
Play this thing online?
What? And I'm like, no. And yet somehow, we've managed to not get anything. We have not done any virtual game nights. Like, our whole group.
Well, me and you together have not done game nights with anybody. Sorry. I have done... I my ongoing D&D campaign, we have switched onto online during this whole fiasco.
Your normal group is doing online. Yeah. Is doing it online. That's good.
We've switched to online, yeah. So, we can still game. We have gone fully online, to the GM's dismay. We had a few fun instances of us trying to get the right platform. The platform, someone suggested was Roll20, but he didn't want to use that because the stuff that he bought content for was for another program called Fantasy Grounds, which is like Roll20, but to get the thing you do have to pay for the full, you have to pay for the software plus pay
the content
additional for resource books beyond the cores. Then he's okay. He decided to do Fantasy Grounds, worked perfectly fine. Right. But the problem is, everyone couldn't use it. One person doesn't have the right. We realized our players have 3 PC people, two Mac people, 1 Linux person. So we've been having, it took us like at least 1 week to figure out how we can get this work for everybody. And then when the actual week happened, the next week later, we thought everything worked. But no, one person couldn't work with the system, with the program at all. FYI, it's the Linux.
As much as I love Linux, love Linux, it's like, you cannot get away from Windows 100% of the time and be able to function.
Yeah.
With other people. Like, there will almost always be either a problem with what you're trying to do that just has not been solved yet on Linux, because let's face it, the Linux software development community is largely volunteer-based. Because unless there's a commercial reason to develop a thing, if there's a commercial reason to develop something for Linux, it's not going to be free. It's going to be a paid application.
You have to pay for it, yeah.
And like the whole Linux, the operating system is free thing, kind of seems to give people a sense that, well, everything on the platform should also be free. And it's like, that's not how that works. So it's like, Linux is probably like the least supported operating system in the entire world. That's the least supported operating system that is widely used. Just because of the whole fact that it's free and that there's not a lot of commercial reason. Like, you can't make a ton of money doing stuff with it. unless you're like Red Hat and you're literally being like, okay, here's a free operating system, but what you're really buying from us is the business support. Yeah, it's like you're buying support so that when you have a problem, we will help you. You know, you can get Red Hat effectively for free in CentOS, but there is zero support for it other than the community. So it's like, okay. Yeah, our audio engineer consultant is a primarily Linux user. And I'm like, she's routinely having issues with things not working on Linux. And it's like, okay.
Oh.
I bet if you went to Windows for like 2 minutes, you could find a solution. And it's like, but, you know, again, the ideal situation is to have it in working in Linux, but sometimes it's just you have to go to a different operating system just to, like, it's like, do you want to spend 100 hours troubleshooting the issue, or do you want to spend 1 hour suffering, you know, and just, like, accepting an operating system that you hate and being able to do 99 hours of work on that thing? You know, to me, that's what it boils down to. But I get it. You know, there are philosophical reasons for one thing or the other. But this is not a tech show. No, it's
sorry,
fine.
For, I'm for just, the quasi tech. It.
I mean, and this is the other thing. Like, but okay, tying this back, like Fantasy Grounds versus Roll 20. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Oh. I like Roll20 because it's all based off a web browser.
Right.
There's no extra software you have to install or anything. Now, I'll admit, Roll20, I don't like the voice chat because at best, sometimes, it's rolling dice. You might get a chance of it all working well. Like it happened last time I used it. Or you might roll the chance of it all crapping out on you and no one gets to do anything. So you use Roll20 for the maps.
You'll Discord find that for the voice. Pretty much every application again, sorry going technical, but you'll find that with like almost every application on the whole planet. Like it does one or two things really, really, really well and it bundles similar functionality just because it's like, oh, we have an all-in-one solution. It, you know, it's like, but I was actually going to go more into Fantasy Grounds versus Roll 20 versus, what was that other one that Windy popped up the other day? Oh my god, it was Talespire.
It's pretty Yeah, Talespire, that's what it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like, a lovely-looking
cool.
Program.
You can make...
It's basically, it's a three-map software that you can run a map on, and that other people can go onto and run like a tabletop for D&D.
I don't remember.
Move your mini rounds and things like that.
Dungeon Forge or something like that. Like the actual ceramic tiles that Dwarven Forge.
Oh yeah, Dwarven Forge.
Let's look it up.
I think it's Dwarven Forge. Well, there's a company called Dwarven Forge that does resin based.
Were there resin
tiles that you can buy from them?
Like a tiny like expansion box was heavy as all hell. Yeah, that's it. Check out our starter sets, and I was like, oh yeah, this is really cool. But starter dungeon painted $49, and all of it is just a square freaking room. I mean, it's gorgeous, but man, you would spend thousands and thousands of dollars on this stuff. And I'm it's beautiful, right? Cool. If you really want to spend your money on that, awesome. Good for you. You probably run a hell of a lot better games than I do. But at the same time, I kind of wonder how much time is actually spent, like, especially in things like Talespire. It's like, if you spend 3 hours on a dungeon, are you actually, like, building the dungeon? And don't get me wrong, it was, I think it looked tile-based. Like, here's a set of stairs, here's a basic room tile.
Oh, yeah.
Like, expand the room, you know, it's like, right.
Here's so a floor tile.
Right. So you didn't have to model every single little thing, but you could get, apparently you can get super duper detailed.
No. Oh yeah. Because I think Wendy was mentioning the person who was, who did the whole Kickstarter thing and everything. Took him 3 hours to do the inn was three stories, it was very detailed inside and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
Oh, two
she
stories.
Spent three, according to Wendy, she spent 3 hours making an inn.
Yeah.
Two stories, super well detailed.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome. Good for them. You know, like, if that's what you want to do with your free time, awesome. Yeah. But, like, how much time would our player base spend in a particular inn? I mean, Curse of Strahd. Let's go with Curse of Strahd, right? At any given session, it was, what, 5-10 minutes to go?
Yeah, but also given... Oh, hold on. It was not your Curse of Strahd. It was different. It was, not your group, but the other group I was running with Curse of Strahd. They went back to the Blue Water Inn.
Really?
It was their HQ majority of the game. For a reoccurring location, that would be a nice thing to have all prepped up, ready to go, and for have a nice 3D model of it running and all that fun stuff. They were like, "Oh, cool!" But yeah, for things like Talespire, it's a great thing. It's a great thing if you have like an HQ map that's going to be that putting a lot of work in is definitely worthwhile. At least my point of view. Or even something like Doran Forge, which is basically just those tiles things that you do.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's a three physically. Set of resin tiles.
Yeah.
That you just kind of like, I don't even think they click together. They just like set them on a table and...
Yeah, they just like thought, going to Critical Role, Matt Mercer, when he makes these little maps, he actually took the time putting them together separately and then just... brings the whole tray of the map and places in the middle of the table. Here's your battle map for the day. And he has two or three of them set up.
Yeah.
Ready to go for that any particular session.
But the thing for me, I would get absolutely frustrated if I spent 3 hours building a dungeon. Let's not even say it's a single place. But, like, if I spent 3 hours building a whole dungeon, like, Dwarven Forge, Talespire, Hell, Roll 20, and then we spent, like, 10 minutes actually playing it, I would be kind of annoyed. I don't know. I would be so pissed. I'd be like, it's just like a campaign, right? Like, people spend years and years writing campaigns, and then it might be over in, like, 3 weeks. Like, once a week for 4 weeks or 6 weeks. I'm like, why did I spend so much time writing all this detail in if they're not even going to bother appreciating it?
It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. It's pure and simple.
Okay, let me put it this way. I've been wanting to run this stupid Paranoia game. I think I spent all, like, in total, 3 or 4 hours thinking about it. Total. Since day one of, hey, Paranoia is coming out, to, hey, Paranoia is now in my hands. Hey, who wants to play Paranoia? To current date, like, 4 hours. We're talking... That was released in 2017. Yeah, it's the 2017 edition.
Oh, it wasn't shit.
It's now 2020. We still haven't played Paranoia, and I'm kind of annoyed that we haven't even spent my 3 or 4 hours. Like, and this is thinking about it. This isn't even like actually solidifying content. This was, hey, it would be cool if this and this and that. And then I'm like, I started going down that path of, okay, how do I take all these little bits and pieces and tie them together? And I'm like, the second I do that, someone's going to hack a scrub bot. It's going to explode, punch a hole in the wall, and you guys will make a beeline straight for the exit. It's like, so they're under no circumstance am I going to spend any more time plotting out this perfect campaign. I'm going to run the game. My plan is to run the game. Take notes while you guys do what you're going to do, and then write the supplement book based on what you actually did. Because there is 0 cent. Just like in Gamers 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like in Gamers 1. He's like, oh, how am I supposed to finish the campaign if the players, always beat up the bad guy too soon? It's like, no, I'm not doing that. Was it?
Actually, that was Gamers 2.
What happened to Gamers 1? Driving.
Yeah. Gamers 1, it was just... Oh, right.
They were in the... Yeah, they were in, the dorm or whatever. Okay, fine. It was Gamers 2.
Jesus. Yeah.
But, still, that's... your mileage may vary, but mine is very impatient, and I know you people...
Yeah.
I know you people, meaning our players, the people I would run the game for too damn well, and under no circumstances am I going to waste a bunch of time putting in a whole crap load of detail just to have Og the Orcish Barbarian go, ugh, it red color, move on. Whoa, red like blood. Cool. I like that. So yeah, it's funny because I was even thinking, man, while we're in quarantine / social isolation, I should be doing something like this. And then I'm like, oh wait, why? Because first of all, that requires me to actually run the game, which means finding players.
Yep.
And every single time I bring paranoia up as a game, I just get crickets. It is the conversation killer.
So.
And I think I mentioned that in the other Discord. This is a
yes, you did, yeah. Yeah, that's why I made the comment back. Power word kill is paranoia.
This stupid weather is got my sinuses all kind of weird.
Actually, it's for where I'm living, it's been pretty nice. There's been one really icky day of heat, but it's been
really
between 50s and 60s.
Wow.
And pretty nice weather.
Yeah, see, up here it might be 72 one day and then 40 the next.
Oh yeah, no, we're having those fluctuations ups and down, yeah. But right now for the past 4 days.
Yeah, it's been still nice. Flowers are starting to try blooming and that sort of thing, and it's like, oh.
Thank you, seasons. Yeah.
Anyway, so do you want to take a break? I think we should take a break. And after the break,
that works.
Check. We'll actually do a real check-in with each other.
Yeah. All right, folks. We'll see you on the other side.
Anyway, we are back.
Yes.
Can I go on one tiny, tiny, tiny little tech thing?
Okay. What's the tiny, tiny little thing?
I love my new split keyboard. Oh. It's awesome. So, Mistel, M-I-S-T-E-L, has... So, okay. Split keyboards are good for ergonomics because you can separate your hands to about shoulder width. And you can also, you know, tent them. So, like, the middle, like, you can make the inside edge higher than the outside edge, rotating your hands in a more ergonomic position. Okay. The problem is that most split keyboards are things like the ErgoDox and clones like that. And they're, like, they're not full-size keyboards, necessarily. Like, the thumbs, instead of just having, like, a space bar, there's, like, four or five keys on each side. And it's just a completely different layout.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it's a 60% layout, which is a compressed version, blah, 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 blah. It's like 80... No, not even 87. It's like 62 keys, and you have to do function shift and all that crap. Mistel has a 75% keyboard, which basically is the F key row, the full size, you know, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated number pad, or up arrow keys, and no 10 key pad.
It's awesome. Okay.
It looks like a normal keyboard, it types like a normal keyboard, and it's just such a smooth transition, and I'm like, oh, I love this keyboard so much, because I don't have to remember pairs of things just to do up, down, left, right, and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So good. All right, sorry, I'm just... I did also put O-rings on the keycaps to make it quieter.
Oh, okay. So there's no clickety-clack.
Yeah. Well, it's still clickety-clack, but it's not super-duper loud. I could actually put foam in the case to make it quieter, but I don't think it's that good. Sorry, so what have you been doing for the social isolation time?
Well, technically, I can't social isolate too well, because I'm technically part of an essential business, and they do not have any options to work from home. So I still have to go to in and out of the office.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, but the roads are a lot quieter, but as of the past few days, the traffic is slowly revving back up, which is worrisome, because I think people are starting to get fed up with this quarantine thing.
Don't get me wrong, I'm fed up with it too, but I'd rather stay home and not get sick.
Yeah, I'm going to the point of, I'm staring at people these drive like, are you out here for essential or are you bored at home? That's the question every time I see someone who's on the road. Especially if they're in these normal, regular cars. Now that these, like, trucks and semis, I guess they're essential some way, form, or another. Or, like, they're, I don't know. They don't look like delivery vans or anything like that. So it's like, okay. Whatever.
Right. Yeah, I like going out, but, like, I don't necessarily get out of my car. Sometimes it's just nice to go for a drive just to get fresh air. I've definitely been doing a lot of outside, around the house stuff. like all that gardening work that I've been wanting to do for years and years and years. Finally got done. Like, apparently my local recycling center has free mulch.
Oh.
It's like, all you gotta do is bring a bucket and carry it away. It's like, cool! I think I've made 5 or 6 trips just because I don't have a truck, and it's I've been using the wife's SUV and just filling garbage cans, like the big tall ones, with mulch, and then it's like, oh right, I forgot how much mulch it takes just to do like 3 square feet of garden.
Yeah, because you gotta do appropriate thickness and things like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. To do, like, a full 2 or 3 inch thick, it's, like, we're talking yards and yards and yards of mulch.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for the, well, I would be one of those, I'm one of those people, too, who are in an apartment, so there's really no outdoor things you do for people who are, under this quarantine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I wish we were doing more gaming. Like, I keep hearing about, like, virtual happy hours and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I think the issue is I hang out with too many introverts. And it's like, I think there was even an article online that said, this was supposed to be an introvert's paradise, but it's not. what happened? And I'm like, what happened was introverts just were like, oh, I don't have to interact with anybody.
Yeah.
Ever. Online or not. And I'm like, God, fucking kill me. Like, this is like the perfect excuse. Like, we always talk about doing game night, Jackbox, like, doesn't have to be role-playing. Something social. And it's like, yeah, no, I'm just going to go ahead and not do that.
Well, just, for me, you just got to tell me about it. I'll be right there.
I know, but I mean, you saw the conversation with Wind the other day, too. It was like, hey, let's do something. Okay, tell me when. How about you, like, do you have a day you'd like to suggest? A time? It's like, you have to give me a heads up. I'm like, rather than me giving you a heads up, why don't you tell me, like, what your schedule looks like? Please, thanks, that'd be great. You and me are the only two people that are really active on the Discord.
I'm not really even active. I'm like the least active out of us. Well.
Right, yeah. Out of us two, you are the least active, which tells you something. Like, the other, what, four or five people, or no, the other like eight people on our Discord, like, never show up. Or they're online, but they don't actually talk.
Yeah. It's like,
guys. So we're only ever, again, we're going back to this pattern of only seeing each other when we have active campaigns going on. I need better friends.
I'm sorry. I'm the worst friend ever.
If you want to be my friend.
I'm the worst friend ever.
Yeah, but you and I wouldn't say that. You and I at least talk on a regular basis. Plus, hey, we've got the 1879.
Yes, that's what we do. Yes.
So, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that, since that game is we're actually starting in this game on the ground up, unlike the other time that we were asked by the actual. I think, isn't he the lead developer of the line?
Yes. I think he's definitely the head developer. He might have even written the original book, and he's definitely writing other books. I don't know. Like, he actually came to me originally and said, hey, you interested in the new sandbox campaign? And I'm just like, yeah, sure, why not? And because I had fun with it the first time, but I'm also starting that dark spiral of, to hell with this shit. Oh. I'm just going to fly solo for until the end of it, and then like see who comes out on the other end, on the other side. I think this will be good for me, though.
Okay.
To like actually like force myself to do something social.
Yeah.
Like, we had an actual session zero the other day.
Actual session zero.
You and I spent a little bit of time afterward, like, talking about character creation. Yeah. I still haven't even opened the book to read about character creation.
Yeah. Just to let you know, there's an errata for the actual rule book.
Oh, really?
Yes, it answered my question.
Oh, good.
It solved my confusion. But for the folks at home, I'm not sure we've mentioned this before in any previous podcast, or at least it was not featured in any of them. The game we're talking about is 1879. Think of a steampunk Shadowrun. Unless, is that the best accurate description I can get to?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a steampunk
alternate history.
There's, like, a pinch of magic, like...
Yeah, not as strong magic as in Shadowrun, per se.
Well, so, the general premise is a thing opened up, a portal-y thing opened up.
Yes.
Non-human races became a thing. Magic is kind of a thing, but it's only been around
for... It's only been around for about 2 years at most. The book takes place in the United Kingdom, specifically London. And about 2 years prior of the campaign starting year, a portal called the Rabbit Hole opened up, which led to, at first was kind of foggy, but then led, and then once it cleared up, it led to another world. Somewhere far away, not even remotely familiar to what people would recognize as anything of being Earth origin. And then, not too long after that, a phenomenon called Looking Glass Fever happened, which a lot of people got sick after a while. Some died. I think some died. But most of them recovered. And then, not too long after that, people who had the Looking Glass Fever suddenly woke up one day, and they weren't humans anymore. They were either a troll, an elf, a dwarf, an orc, but they don't call it orcs.
Yeah, it's not orc. It's,
Snarks.
Yeah, so it's very much like Shadowrun, because was it the Vitus? No. What was the plague in Shadowrun?
Vitus was the vampire plague that bought the undead.
Anyway, in Shadowrun, a similar thing happened.
Oh, no,
happened,
it was
right?
Not
like
it was spontaneous expression. It's just people were just turning or just being born as. But okay. 1879, the oldest person who was born as their race is only two. When the in-game universe starts.
Okay.
For playable wise.
Why did I for ever since 2000, the year 2000, for some reason I thought that like Shadowrun was born out of, or the non-human races in Shadowrun were born out of the Vitus Plague.
No, the Vitus Plague, a lot of people died, and people who died came back as vampires, zombies, and ghouls.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was not the Vitus Plague, because that was the one that killed a whole bunch of people. Yeah. I thought it was something else like that, though.
Yeah, but, I don't think the people in Shadowrun, I don't think people who became what they are ever got sick. I think it was just spontaneous.
Weird. It was just, you wake up one day and suddenly you're an orc. Or a troll. Yeah.
But this is from the same company that originally made Shadowrun. So familiar. Yes, of course. It's from the same people who originally made Shadowrun before Shadowrun switched developers.
Yes. Yep. So this is FASA. Yep. FASA?
FASA.
Is it FASA?
Yeah.
I know it's FASA, but you could say it with a long A or a short A.
I think.
Oh, whatever. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so the point is, like, you've already created your character.
Yeah.
And I haven't even pulled up did I even make a name? Maybe I did.
I thought you rolled stats for it. I know I did.
Dude, I don't think I've rolled stats for anything.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's like I just don't care.
Damn.
Well, not don't care. It's like, yeah, no, I don't have any record.
Huh. Wow. And this was a week ago.
I know. Exactly. It's been a week. Like, normally I get so excited about a thing that I would have finished it that night.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a couple days to finish the by character.
Like, I've practically forgot what I was even going to make.
Oh. Weren't you going to recreate the Byron?
Yeah, I was going to do a human Byron, not a snark Byron.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Byron, for folks at home, think of Deckers.
Yeah, telegraph hackers.
Yeah, because there's the telegraph system in 1879, and Byron's getting hacked through it.
I lied. I do actually remember the premise.
Okay.
It's basically, he's a telegraph repair. The premise, or his backstory, is basically going to be, he's a telegraph repair man working for the railroad, which allows affords him travel. It gives him a reason to be in places. And I think our group was gonna be amateur paranormal investigators.
We're amateur paranormal investigators because the concept of my character is before magic came back, in the essence, he's a con artist, but his shtick was back in the day when spiritualism was a big thing, his racket was spiritualism. So he conned money out of people contacting their dead relatives. Contacting dead relatives in big quotation marks. But of course, when magic came to existence, ghosts are actually real. Oops.
He found out the hard way.
But he can actually think of, like, Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost.
I remember that, yeah.
So, thought of the whole shtick was, like, just for free money, but nope. Can actually talk to dead people. What?
Surprise! I was just kidding. I can actually do it. No, surprise, I could do it for real now. Wait, you mean you were lying? No, the whole time. I mean, the whole time. I swear. Oh, God.
But sadly enough, in the system, the actual ability to speak to ghosts is actually not until, like, the next tier up. Which is hilarious. But he can still do something. He can still see spirits and he actually can do remote viewing. As his abilities that I purchased for him.
I need to just do it. I hate saying it like that because it feels like a chore.
Oh.
But I'm like, I really just need to do it. And I know that this feeling is just because I'm slowly losing my mind. And I need more regular social interaction.
Yeah, this socialization has made me more angrier at things than I normally am.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have that absolutely too.
Oh, yeah, I've rage quit a few things already.
Dude, you have no idea. I cleaned out my garage the other day, cleaning the house and purging myself and the house of things that we don't need, won't fix, or are just absolutely unnecessary, has been high on my list ever since we moved.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, the less stuff you have, the easier it is to move. True. It's not like, if I haven't read a book or needed a book for years, it's like, why carry 2 pounds of books around?
That's true, yeah. Well,
if it has zero sentimental value, that 2 pounds of books multiplied by 100 becomes a very heavy, bulky, space-filling thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I was cleaning out my garage because that's a giant mess and I can't actually work on stuff in there. I'm sure I've complained about it before. And I'm, like, throwing away sentimental stuff that, well, at one point would have actually continued to mean something to me. And I'm like, I haven't even thought about this forever. I haven't thought about that particular relationship in forever. Oh, this no longer has significance to me. It goes away. And I'm just like, this is actually probably very cleansing in that regard, because it's like, what am I using currently stuck in the house that is actually bringing me enjoyment or good health? This, that, and the other thing? Okay, cool. What is not doing me any good right now and probably not going to be doing me any good in the future? All of this crap. It's like, yeah, so it's like trash, recycle, donate. And it felt really good to be able to do that and see progress. I was so happy. I'm like, yeah! Get this crap out of my face. But it's also super tiring, and not actually being able to move the donate piles to the donation center is not helping.
Yeah.
It's like,
since they are closed for the time being. I would imagine
so. So I'm just going to focus on basically the trash because the recycled bin is full again.
No, jeez.
Well, unfortunately, our recycling only comes once every other week.
Oh.
It's like our trash pickup is twice a week. Our recycling is a quarter as much.
Wow. Damn.
But it's fine. I mean, I can at least take, like, flattened cardboard and separated recycling to the center and then just toss it in the bins, but that requires me to actually, like, sift, you know, put cans in one thing, paper in another thing, plastic. Yeah, it's like, no. I'll just store it for the next week.
Okay.
Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're probably going to do a whole bunch more like this. Especially, just, you know, very lightly edited. Because this is really just to keep you busy or to keep us busy. Hopefully keep you entertained to, you know, show you that we're still around, we swear.
That we're alive.
And we will, yes, we're alive, we're healthy. And please, join our Discord. find it on the website, letthediceroll.com. Yeah. Come play games with us. We have lots, I promise. I will host something online for you for free.
Yeah, even if you have Tabletop Simulator, we have games we can play on there.
Yeah, we have Tabletop Simulator. Jackbox is free for everybody.
Yeah, you have copies of it, yeah.
Yes, I have copies. There are some games that's a little harder. Some of the Jackbox games is harder to do because of the stream latency.
Oh.
But I'm sure there's tons and tons. There's tons of games out there that we can all share together, I promise. Fiasco Online is the online version of Fiasco is shipping soon, so maybe we'll get some of that going. But again, it's not fantasy. So.
People want fantasy because they don't want to experience the
power word kill fiasco. Yeah. Sigh. Anyway, folks, I hope you like I said, please stay safe.
Yes.
I don't want to say keep your ears to the radio for us because God knows when these updates are going to come out. But
also,
you know.
If you guys want to, you can always leave us a voicemail of how you guys are surviving or survived the pandemic of social isolation.
Have you checked for voicemails lately? I haven't.
Oh, I haven't either. Oh, boy. Maybe after today I'll check them and maybe we have voicemails wondering where we are and we can answer them.
Well, they'll just have to find out next episode on Let the Dice Roll. Alright, guys. My name is Ben.
I've been Rasper there, and you have a good day, evening, or afternoon, wherever you may be.